morning.
Good morning.
Great to see all of you guys here. If you're visiting with us, welcome. We're glad you're here. Thanks for being our guests. So I have this message prepared. I'm planning on going to it because it lines up with the Word. But I feel like I'm supposed to tell you a little story of the overcoming power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, as many of you know, I work outside of the church. This is not my job, or this is my job, but this is my kingdom job, and I have an earthly job as well, and that earthly job is to work for the city of Missoula as a fleet manager. And if you guys have heard this story, I'm sorry, I'm telling it again. I told it actually on Wednesday for the couple that were here, but over the last week, I'm the fleet manager for the city of Missoula, so that means I do all the purchasing for the city of Missoula on the fleet side. That budget is fairly hefty. It's a fairly hefty budget. And they went through the budget process this year, and a couple of the citizens took exception to the budget for purchasing fleet. And in that, a couple of the council members also took exception to it. And so they called me a couple of weeks ago, actually it was probably 6 weeks ago they called me and asked me to explain why we do what we do in the fleet maintenance side of things, in the fleet purchasing side. And they didn't like the explanation I gave, I guess. And so they said they were going to take me to council, the full council, which is all the council members, the mayor, the city CEO, the city district or city clerk, and then there's a bunch of press there as well. You know, so for me to stand up in front of people, do I get nervous? Yes, I get nervous every Sunday to talk in front of people. But when he said this, it was this thing that kind of rose up in me. It was like this fear. And I didn't really let it take control of me. Because one of the council members said, I'm going to write up a referral, we're going to take it to the council, we're going to discuss this. And we want you to explain to us why we do what we do. And I was like, okay. So I kind of just let it go. Well, that was 5 or 6 weeks ago. About a week ago, I get an email saying, the referral has gone through, you're going to go to council and you're going to explain this. So I let this fear rises up in me. And these nerves start to rise up in me. And I didn't say anything. I'm more of an introvert than an extrovert, so I don't voice things very well. So I just kind of kept it inside. And this last Wednesday was when I was going to council. And I was struggling this whole time on what to say, what to go to before council and say was going to be. And Wednesday morning, I wake up. I get up at 4:45 in the morning to go to work. And I wake up pretty much in a panic attack. I am just flat in fear. And the nerves are already going. I'm shaking. And I was like, the Lord came over me, Holy Spirit came over me, and he says, why are you being fearful? And so then I asked that same question, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit asks you that, and then you're like, God, why am I so fearful? And what came back to me was, you know, because I said, God, I can stand in front of people, I can stand in front of a congregation and I can preach, I can teach, I can stand in front of people. And do I get nervous? Yes, I get nervous, just because I think everybody gets a little bit nervous. If you're not a little on edge when you preach, I don't think you're doing it right. So, but why is this so overtaking me? Why is this so engulfing me? And the Lord says, because you're not putting your hope in me.
Thank you.
I was humbled. At that moment, I gave it to the Lord. I said, take this from me. At that moment, this peace came over me. I wasn't fearful. I didn't have any panic. Was I still nervous? Yes. I was still nervous. I get nervous any time I get in front of people. But the panic was gone. The fear was gone. I went to work that morning. I closed my office door. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? What I've been struggling to put together for weeks, 15 minutes. I typed it out, made notes. I went to council at 11 o'clock. It was scheduled for an hour, 11 to 12. 11 to 11:55 is what it was scheduled for. I was done at 11:20. By the time I got done, there was three follow-up questions, which were just very simple questions. And two of the council members that took exception to the purchasing policy stood up and told me what a great job I'm doing. Another council member that hadn't taken exception just over the top praise for what I do. I was ecstatic. I left that place just on cloud nine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for taking the fear, taking the panic, taking the anxiety, and showing me your strength, showing me your power, showing me when I put my hope in the right place, that I don't have to worry. So not only do the council members tell me, doing a great job, the city CAO calls me, or catches me at the end of the meeting, and tells me what a great job I did. So there's four. And then on Thursday, the mayor actually emails me and says what a great job I did in the presentation, how proud he was to have somebody that was so articulate and so genuine running the city fleet. That's not me. That's the power of God working through his people. Amen? Amen. 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 I think we're wrong.
This is worship this morning.
So last week, we talked last week about being priests. We talked last week about cleansing the temple. We looked in, I don't even remember where we were at, Chronicles, was it, last week? And we talked about Hezekiah, and it says that he opened the temple doors again, and he told the priests, he told the Levites, he says, let's get to work. We need to open these things up. We need to cleanse the temple. We need to get everything out of the temple that Ahaz had put in it and completely just... He'd taken all the furnishings, all the holy furnishings, all the stuff out. He'd broken them into pieces and he'd burned them. And so Hezekiah says, let's open it up. Let's put what's supposed to be in there. And let's get back to worship. Let's get back to what we're supposed to do. Let's get back on task.
Yes.
And so last week we talked about being a priest. Being a priest in our own life, and that we need to open the doors up of our heart, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to tell us what we need to take out and what we need to put in. And the stuff that's in there that's taking up all the space, the stress, the worry, the finance, all the stuff in our life that takes up room in our temple that crowds out God, we need to take that out. And we need to only put in what God wants us to put in. That was last week. So, today is the second part of being kings and priests. So, last week was talking about being a priest. And in Revelations 1:6, it says, and God has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Revelation 1:6 says we are kings and priests. And last week we were talking about being a priest in our own lives. This week we're going to talk about being kings in our lives. So one of the things about being a king is that you have authority. So if you would open with me, and we're going to be right around Luke. Luke 10:19 is the scripture I'm actually going to open with. And Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Each and every person who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior possesses a very powerful tool. And today I want to enable you to use that tool in your life. This tool was given to us when Jesus conquered the grave. This tool is called spiritual authority, and it's the key to the kingdom of God. It's one of the keys to the kingdom of God. So keys represent authority. They represent the ability to get into something. Right? I have keys that opens every door to this building. Those doors, if you don't have keys, represent something that hinders, something that stands against, something that gets in your way. When you have the key to that door, you have the authority to open it. Now, even if my daughter were to steal my keys, she wouldn't do that because she's a really good kid. But if she was to steal my keys, maybe she doesn't have the proper rights, but she has the authority and the key to open the door. So as Jesus people, again, we try not to use the word Christian too much because there's such a wide variety of Christians. So we want to be Jesus people. We want to be people that follow Jesus. We want to be people that act and that speak like Jesus and do what Jesus did. And so as Jesus people, we possess the keys of the kingdom of God, which means we have authority over everything that would hinder us. Everything and anything that would hinder us, we have that authority. We have the authority to speak over it and for it to be gone in Jesus' name. That means we have authority over the enemy. Nothing the enemy of our soul throws at me or puts in my way can deter me or slow me down or cause me to give up. Because my hope isn't in the things of this world. My hope isn't in what I can do. My hope isn't in my strength. My hope isn't in the world's strength. My hope is in Jesus Christ's strength. My hope is in God's strength. My hope is in an infinite strength. My hope is in a strength that never fails, never ends, never comes to an end. That's the hope. That's where my hope sits. So we never give up. Why? Because I have the keys. I have the keys of authority, and the authority of the power of God has raised Jesus. The same authority that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. We see spiritual authority of the believers acted out in Ephesians. We see it in Acts. How many of you know that Acts never ends? It's a book in the Bible, yes. But do you know that Acts never ends? We are the Acts church. We are still in Acts. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing for Christ. We're working it out, working our faith out, walking our faith out. We're putting our hope and our strength in the Lord and doing as the Holy Spirit commands. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul explains to all believers that we have the authority over Satan and all his dominion. And we have that authority through Jesus Christ. It is an authority that assures us we have the victory over the enemy because He has already been defeated. The enemy has already been defeated.
Jesus defeated him over 2,000 years ago when he went to the cross and he bled and he rose again for each and every one of us. Sadly enough, a lot of churches don't speak of the authority that is given to each and every one of us. Sadly enough, some churches, as I spoke on last week, don't believe that God works at all today. They believe that authority was given to the apostles so that it would give relevance to the Scripture. But can I tell you that nowhere in Scripture does it say that that ever ended? Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that authority is not given to everybody and anybody that will take stand on it, will take dominion in their lives. Some believers think it's spiritual authority is just for certain people. Oh, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist, the missionary, but not for me. It's not for me. I'll just go ask for prayer. I'll ask somebody else to pray for me to relieve what's going on in my life. I'll pray for you until I'm blue in the face. I really will. I love you guys. I will pray for you until I'm blue in the face. But what if I'm not there? What if it's like a Wednesday scenario when things are coming over the top of you, they're completely engulfing you like they were me this week? I'm not there to pray for you. Take authority. We are to take authority in our own life. It is for each and every person. Spiritual authority was bought and paid for each and every person. Every person that calls themselves Jesus followers, Christ followers, I'm going to use the word Christians, those that call themselves Christians, Jesus paid the price for each and every one of us to take authority in our lives and to be kings. We are called kings, and he's called the King of Kings. We're kings, the King of Kings, the K is capitalized on the first king, and the K is small cased on the lower, on the second kings, big K, little K, King of Kings. The big king, Heavenly Father King, us kings. That's us. He's the king of us kings. So we're to be kings. We're supposed to take authority. Amen. We're supposed to be like Jesus, yes?
Yes.
So when Jesus came up against something, did you... This is one of those things that just kind of like... To me, it kind of grabs me. It kind of like grates me a little bit. Sorry, but I'm going to say it. But so you hear somebody that's going through something... really nasty. They're going through something that is obviously demonic in their life. Obviously something is going on that is just grabbing a hold of them. And they pray this pretty little prayer of, Heavenly Father, help me. Now there's nothing wrong with that. But God has told us to take authority in our life. He's told us to go after it in our life. So for me personally, and I'm going to give you, this is very practical here today. This is very practical. You are going to go after the enemy in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. You're going to say, enemy, you leave me alone. You stop messing with me. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I will not be stressed. I will not, in Jesus' name, you leave me alone right now. All hindrance, all doors be broken open. I profess freedom to the captives.
Yes. Yeah.
You see, there's power of life and death in the tongue. And when I pray in a way that takes authority, then that which has already been purchased for me 2,000 years ago is put in motion and freedom is opened up to me. The key has already been given to me, and if I won't use the key, then I'm keeping myself bondage. I have the chain. The enemy has wrapped chains around me, and he's locked the lock, but I have the key to open it. If I won't take the authority in Jesus' name and say, enemy, leave me alone, I break these bondages off of me, then I have the key in my hand, and I'm completely bound. How silly is that? It's 40 below zero. I have the key to the house. It's 80 degrees in there, and I'm just standing outside the door. It's cold out here. How silly is that? So what is authority? Simply put, authority is delegated power. A policeman who is directing traffic, he puts his hands up and he stops the traffic. He stops it because he has authority. He doesn't physically stop a car. It's because he has the authority to do so. I heard a story. The story is called The Chicken Lady. And Christian Herter was the governor of Massachusetts. And this is another story about authority, okay? He was the governor from 1953 to 1956. While running for his second term, he went out campaigning and arrived at a church picnic. He was starving. He was really hungry. As he moved down the serving line, he held out a plate for a piece of chicken, and the woman serving the chicken put one piece of chicken on his plate and started to serve the next person. The governor said to the woman, "Excuse me, may I have another piece of chicken?" And she replied, "I'm sorry, I was told to give everyone only one piece of chicken." "But I'm starving," the governor said. "Sorry, only one to a customer," replied the woman. The governor was a little put out by this, and he said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of this state." And the woman replied, "Do you know who I am? I am the lady in charge of the chicken." "Move along, sir." She had authority. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. The very day, the very hour, the very minute, the very second that we became born again and redeemed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive the key to the authority of the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
It's the same tool that Jesus gave his 12 disciples. It's the same tool he gave the 70 when he sent them out and he says, "Go and share the good news."
And that's in Luke 10, 1 through 4 and 17 through 20. Again, there's no reason to think. Well, I'm going to go back to the 70. The 70 returned. This is in actually Luke 10, 17. It says, "The 70 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name.'" That's the authority. That's the key to the kingdom. Again, there's no reason to think that the same authority Jesus gave to those to the 12, to the original 12 and to the 70, that authority has ever been rescinded.
Right.
That authority belongs to every believer today.
Yes.
We receive it, like I said, when we were born again.
Yes.
I find this pretty interesting in that
Mark 16 says Jesus was talking to everyone when he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." A lot of us know that scripture, right? A lot of us know that's the Great Commission. That's what God has called each and every one of us to do while we're on this planet. But do we know what comes after that?
Make disciples.
And we're going to actually skip to 17, verse 17, and it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and they will drink deadly things, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover."
Yeah.
That would be talking about taking authority. Mm-hmm. That would be talking about using the key that God has given us 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. To open the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, a lot of people talk about the first part of that. A lot of people talk about go out and make disciples. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. A lot of people know that. A lot of people talk about that. A lot of people will quote that scripture. But a lot of people don't believe that we have authority in Jesus Christ, too. Well, we have authority in Jesus Christ, but we don't have authority to overcome things in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, Jesus had promised authority to everybody that called him theirs. Everybody that is his own, that's Jesus' own, he's given them this authority. See, many are content to get goosebumps and read about things that happen in third world countries. And they think, boy, Jesus really moving in Africa, Jesus really moving in wherever it might be. And they're content with that. They get these goosebumps, these good feelings, I sent $20 to Africa, so I'm part of that. You know, and missionary work is great, and missionary giving is awesome, and I'm not trying to deter anybody from doing that. But what I'm saying is, if it's good enough for Africa, then it's good enough for us, is it not?
Amen.
So many of us might even dare enough to command sickness to leave somebody. But are we really believing it? Are we really going after it? The thing we need to remember is the enemy is not a law-abiding citizen. What happens, again, with the officer? The officer holds up his hands and tells the people to stop. What happens when somebody that is against authority doesn't do what an officer tells them to do? The officer doesn't just shrug his shoulders. He doesn't just, okay, good enough. Well, lost that one. No. He doesn't say, I guess that didn't work. No, he turns up the heat of authority.
Yeah.
He polishes his badge, takes the clip off of his gun. He says, all right, time to get serious. You don't want to listen to me? Time to get down and dirty. We're getting greedy now. Right?
Amen.
Again, the devil's not a law-abiding citizen, and it might not happen right off the get-go when we first pray, enemy, you leave me alone. You leave them alone. You go away. The sickness leave in Jesus' name. Whatever it might be, we take authority in Jesus' name. We take the key to the kingdom of God, and we open it up for freedom in our life, and it doesn't happen. So do we just shrug our shoulders? Oh, that didn't work. No. We get ornery. This Yosemite Sam was, I'm hungry! It's with our authority as believers we need to understand that the infinite power of the government of heaven backs us up. In fact, most of the time, there's going to be a fight. Satan doesn't like to lose. He doesn't like to let go of his victims. But as God's children, we possess the keys to release. We possess the keys to freedom.
Trying to wrap this up. I still have a couple pages of notes. But
we need to start exercising our spiritual authority.
Amen.
So what are the keys to exercising our spiritual authority against the enemy? Well, I'm glad you asked. We need to understand where our spiritual authority comes from.
Right.
It doesn't come from our own strength. It doesn't come from the world's strength. It doesn't come from how many people you know. It doesn't come from your finances. It doesn't come from how good your job is. It doesn't come from your Facebook account that has 30,000 followers. It doesn't come from any of those things.
Right.
But it comes from the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that which he paid for 2,000 years ago. Amen. Jesus possessed power, authority over all things. There's been no spiritual leader that can claim that. None, except for him. Amen. The second thing we need to know about how to use the key is we need to understand that Jesus gives his authority to us. I've already mentioned this and also shared this scripture. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they drink. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Clearly, Jesus has promised his authority to those who are his own. This brings us to the third point. Our authority is based solely on a relationship with Jesus. We need to maintain that relationship. As of last week when I preached on being the priest, in that we need to open up our hearts. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us. Mm-hmm. The things that are in there that are not good, we take out. The things that he wants us to put in, we put in. We got to maintain. We have to maintain that relationship with Jesus. That is where that power comes from. That is where the authority comes from. That is where dominion comes from. It is from the power of God through the working of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I would tell you to put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. And if you don't know what that is, Ephesians 6:13-18 says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Look how many times it says stand in this scripture. Stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with readiness that comes with the gospel of peace, In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy, of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Stand firm, stand your ground, stand. Put on the full armor of God. And I had a bunch of this stuff to speak on, and I'm running out of time, so we're going to keep going. But the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. And it says it's the Word of God. The Word of God. I don't have time to go into that. When we put on the armor of God, we are ensuring that our relationship with God through Jesus is going to be our top priority while on this planet. When we put this armor on, we have the authority over the enemy. We have the authority to overcome the enemy and take back what was stolen from us. The second part of being a king is that he takes ground. We see Solomon, the king after David, David's son, it says that David expanded the kingdom. But it says Solomon was the one that expanded the kingdom to its utmost. He expanded the kingdom to the boundaries that God had set up for Israel. He wouldn't stop. He just kept on going. He says, Lord, if this is mine, I'm going to take it. If this kingdom, if this land is mine, I'm going after it. He wouldn't shrink back. He wouldn't take a back seat. He wouldn't let things stand in his way. He wouldn't let doors be closed in front of him. Because he knew he had the authority. He knew he had the power of God behind him. We have the authority. We have the power of God behind us. The whole government of God at our calling. We've been given the key. Are we going for the land that God has given us? Everything God has given us, are we going after it? Are we content where we're at? Oh, I live a good life. I have a great job. I have a good home. I'm content. Why in third world countries do we see miraculous happen? Because they're not content. They're not content with the normal. Are we content with the normal? Are we willing and ready to get out of the normal into the supernatural? Because everything, the authority of the kingdom of God is out of this world. And our minuscule minds can't wrap around it. Will we open ourselves up to the authority that God has given us? Will we be willing and bold enough to step out in it and say, God, yes and amen. You've given me this authority, and I believe that the whole government of God is behind me in this. God, I don't care if I look like a fool. I'm a fool for you. I'm a fool for Jesus Christ. I'm okay with that. I'm not sure what the enemy has taken from each and every one of us. But you got to remember that the enemy is steal, kill, and destroy. If he can steal it from us, he will. If he can take it from us, he will. See, our salvation isn't inward reflection only. See, we do inward reflection, outward expression. Again, I'm not sure what the enemy has taken from us. But I need you to know that you have the authority to take it back in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. John, 1 John 4:4. You don't have to be bound by the enemy any longer. You have the authority to be set free and to take which belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You have spiritual authority that Christ paid for 2,000 years ago. Authority overcome the enemy in every area of your life. It doesn't matter what the enemy is throwing at you. You have been given the key of authority. Are we ready to take spiritual authority in our lives?